This interview is property of 99.3 County FM.
It's time to pony up to the table and hear all of what's going on in the county, where it all comes together. The County Grapevine, a 99.3 County FM, the voice of the county.
And welcome to the Tuesday edition of the County Grapevine. My name is Suzanne O'Connor, and with me, of course, is Mr. David McQueen.
We're going to talk about ageism. Ann Van Vlack, project manager of the Community Care for Seniors initiative, Don't Call Me Dear, is in our studio now to talk about how changes in our language, behavior, and perspective can help us build stronger connections across generations. She's going to tell us how the Don't Call Me Dear project is helping to improve knowledge and understanding of older adults in our community. Over to you, Suzanne.
Dave, thanks so much. Yeah, you know, this came about because when we were hearing Laura McGugan doing the commercial that we're airing regularly these days, we wanted to look into this. So we called the Community Care for Seniors. She said, you are the project manager for this fantastic initiative. So we've got a lot to talk about today. It's about ageism. Can you define ageism, Anne?
Sure, really. And thank you for the opportunity to get this message across today. So ageism happens when people are treated unfairly or judged simply because of their age. And older adults are often overlooked or misunderstood, which can affect their well-being and their sense of belonging. So you can see ageist attitudes in the media, for example, not here, which often stereotypes aging or sets generations against each other. And you may see it in healthcare, where symptoms are dismissed as just aging, or in workplaces, where older employees are passed over for hiring, training, or promotions. So ageist attitudes can also show up as elder speak, which is like using a patronizing tone or words, or calling people a dear or sweetie. Even if that's meant kindly, it can assume someone can't manage on their own. It reflects outdated perceptions, and our language can either reinforce stereotypes or respect dignity.
Absolutely, for sure. You know, I'm actually kind of surprised because I guess a lot of it depends on your circle. So I don't hear people calling other people dear or sweetie and so on. But yeah, I think if somebody did to me, I would absolutely be offended. I'm not sure how I would deal with it. So this is really, really great that this initiative came about. You're doing a deputation tonight to council. So can you talk about specifically what initiated this initiative called Don't Call Me Dear?
So it was really started by Debbie McDonald Moines, executive director at Community Care for Seniors, and she noticed that once her hair started to show signs of gray, that people in service roles would sometimes address her with terms like dear or sweetie. And she really found that frustrating, and she talked to others and found that many other people had similar experiences. And so doing further research confirmed that ageism and patronizing language are really widespread issues, and that inspired her to take action and to create this project.
So for those who may be discriminatory in these ways, or discriminated against, how do you think that these attitudes and perspectives develop in people that are using these terms? Like, is it something that is passed down maybe from their parents?
Yeah, it's certainly partly cultural. Attitudes toward older adults varies really widely across cultures. And so in some cultures, elders are highly respected, they're valued for their wisdom, and they play central roles in family and community decisions. But in others, aging is often associated with decline, and older people may be overlooked, undervalued, or excluded from decision-making. So ageism is a bias that we might not recognize even in ourselves. And it's the only form of discrimination still widely considered socially acceptable. And according to the World Health Organization globally, 1 in 2 people are ageist against older adults. So ageism affects young people too. It shapes how they imagine their own futures, and we should hope for the opportunity to grow old.
Right. You know, I mean, that stat is really quite surprising. And I guess it's because if it is not happening in our own backyard, it's hard to imagine it. But sure, we're talking about around the world, we're talking about different cultures, and wow, this is amazing. So statistics from the County Foundation say that in 2024, 35.2% of county residents are age 65 plus, and that's out of our total population of 27,000 people, thereabouts. And so this makes Prince Edward County the second highest in Ontario of folks that are 65 plus, and one of the top 10 across Canada. So can you talk about why this statistic is an important detail?
For sure. So that is the equivalent of about 9,500 residents in Prince Edward County who are age 65 plus. So it makes us one of Canada's oldest communities. And that's significant because it's such a large segment of our population that can be affected by unconscious ageism and receiving equitable service.
What are some of the stories that you've heard from members of Community Care for Seniors? Like, what does discrimination look like in our community for people who are 65 plus?
Well, what I'd like to say is that there are signs of growing awareness. For example, healthcare and home care workers are now trained to use language that gives patients and clients more agency. So instead of assuming helplessness with phrases like, "Shall we have a bath now?" a more respectful approach is, "Would you like a bath now?" So more direct language, respectful language, giving agency, more training now. And also, some seniors and youth tell me that there's also less contact between generations than in the past. Families often live further apart, and traditions like family dinners are less common. So regular exposure between generations makes a big difference in building understanding and connection.
You know, this is so interesting. I have a feeling, like the example that you just gave, so somebody is thinking that they're being compassionate. They're not thinking that they're being at all derogatory. And maybe this is something that evolves. So whether that evolved in the 70s or whatever, where they're thinking that they're being compassionate, but now enough older people, gray hair or not, are just saying, you know, "I am so tired of this kind of attitude towards us." So this is really great education. So what you just described, does it happen more often when someone may have physical disabilities, is maybe carrying a cane and walking, you know, very cautiously? Does it happen more with people that look like this?
Absolutely. Ageist assumptions are more likely when somebody shows signs of frailty or uses mobility aids like a cane. And so people may unconsciously assume limitations or the need for help, even when that person's fully capable. And so that's why it's important to treat older adults with respect and ask rather than assume what they need.
Okay. Now how are you proposing this initiative move forward and have an impact in encouraging a healthier perspective on aging? Like, what is involved in the plan?
Well, the plan itself, the project itself is 9 months, but I'm hoping the impact is long term. And so when Debbie asked me to take on this project, I saw it as an opportunity to make intergenerational connections and to create impactful messaging. Plus, I'm an unretired senior who can relate to the initiative. That's my new word, unretired. So the plan focuses on building understanding between generations. So, for example, we've hosted conversations between seniors and youth, and the results have been very encouraging. For example, 78% of Prince Edward Collegiate students said they're now more willing to engage with older adults, and 65% said they feel more positive about aging. So, and every senior who participated said they'd like to take part again. So another exciting step is that Rock Youth will be creating TikTok videos that challenge ageism using a platform that young people know well. What a great way to learn. And so we're also developing resources for local businesses, including training videos on how to better serve and attract and retain older customers, and a panel discussion on unlocking the 50-plus market. And we've also launched a storytelling and podcast series called More Than Age, featuring expert perspectives and conversations with between youth and older adults. And the goal is to humanize aging and challenge stereotypes.
Okay. Wow, this is really, really great. Now, you've got so many programs that are set up at Community Care for Seniors that are involved in this nine-month program. So you've got the podcasting. You've got this, like you say, communication, regular communication between folks that are at the ROC. Is it, what is it, Recreation Outreach Center?
Yes, Rocky Services, they now are called.
Okay, mm-hmm. Okay, thank you. So, I told this story as well on air a couple of weeks ago when Laura McGugan and David Fox were here. I was so impressed with a gentleman that had just done work at our house, and it was something to do with our furnace. And he looked like he was in his late 20s. And he said that, and somehow it came up in context, that he helped his dying mother. Or was it a grandmother? I can't remember. But this is about a month ago that he's in our house. And the wisdom that this guy had in our house, you could feel it from the minute he arrived. He was so cool. He was great at holding space. He was just so, so mature, like, you know, like the wisest 80-year-old kind of thing. And here he is in his late 20s. And then when he told us the story before he left, he told us the story about how he was by his dying relative for 2 years. And so I thought that's where his wisdom came from, because he spent so much time caring for this person. And so I'm just thinking that it's not just the wisdom that these folks that are going to be sharing with the ROC youth, but it's also that these ROC youth are going to be learning compassion, right?
Absolutely. It's a great opportunity for, and we have an intergenerational lunch tomorrow. Everybody's really looking forward to that.
I just love it. You know, and also it's quite entertaining, really, to hear about these stories of decades past, right? You know, I mean, we always joke around how, you know, I had to walk to school, but I mean, it's true. I mean, you know, if somebody is not wanting to walk down from the Picton Heights to their school or whatever, it's like, honey, that's nothing. So let's talk about seniors' contributions to our local economy. While some seniors may find on fixed incomes, and maybe even some are already satisfied with all the amenities that they have. And so seniors as a group may not always be known as the biggest spenders. So is this part of ageism, and how can perspectives be shifted around that idea?
Yeah, it can be a perspective, and so there's different ways of looking at it, of course. But the 50-plus markets, really, it's a growing opportunity for businesses. For example, by 2030, people over 50 are expected to account for nearly half of all consumer spending in Canada. So that's in sectors like travel, home services, retail, and health. So that represents significant buying power. And in Prince Edward County, where tourism plays a major role in the economy, that's an important consideration. So the older generation ages 50 plus actually spans 5 decades and is very diverse. So there's a wide range of income levels and interests, and many seniors donate generously to community causes, and many volunteer their time. And I've heard the expression that this community runs on volunteers, and I think there's a lot of truth in that. We're really fortunate to have so many people, including seniors, who care deeply about the well-being of our community.
Wow, this is so great. If people want to find out more information about this initiative, they can watch it on YouTube, because it's going to be like every other deputation, that it can be accessible. But if people want to find specifically more details about this programming that the Community Care for Seniors and this initiative called Don't Call Me Dear is all about, how do they do that?
Well, we've made it easy. There's a website called don'tcallmedear.ca, and I'd invite people to go there. It has a lot of resources, and it had podcasts.
How did you get that domain? Good for you.
Debbie was wise in looking forward to do that before the project started.
Very smart. Awesome. Well, Anne Van Vlack, I understand that this might be the first time that you've been in the live studio, because I know that you're on regularly on the Monday Grapevine with Lynn Pickering. So thanks so much for coming into the live studio and not minding to do that.
It's been my pleasure. Thank you.
You've been listening to Anne Van Vlack, who is project manager for this initiative called Don't Call Me Dear. Let's say that again, Suzanne. Don't call me dear. All right. And after this break, Dave McQueen is talking to the Prince Edward Family Health Team about being a dietitian and what this year's theme is for all dietitians across Canada, right after this.